Hello, everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 396, an unedited raw episode. We're just going to talk about Xbox, because that's what we do here on Connectivity. I am joined, as I often am, by Neil Ronahan.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
So they did it. That as of 15 minutes before recording, I got Game Pass again.
Hey, all right.
It literally, because I canceled my subscription like a month ago, and this was technically the last day of it. Here's the reason why. My oldest has been playing Minecraft at school, not the actual game, just like pretend Minecraft, and has showed an interest in the game. And he's like, "Can I play the game?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's easier to just get Game Pass."
There you go.
I could I spend the, I don't even know how much Minecraft is.
20 bucks.
Yeah. But it's like a dollar for the first like 14 days. And if he keeps on playing Minecraft, then I mean, there's other stuff to play on Game Pass too that he probably enjoy. And now that I actually started playing Halo, maybe I'll play the single player.
I was going to say, this is your window to, to try that.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I actually play it. Cause that was why I canceled it, because I realized over the last couple months of last year, kind of aligning with when I got a PS5.
It does make sense.
didn't really touch Game Pass.
But luckily, based on Sony's comments that totally weren't taken out of context, they're not releasing any games this year. So you should be good to go. I suppose maybe we can touch on that too today.
Yeah, the all Nintendo. Because truth be told, I do think this time next week we'll be talking about a Nintendo Direct. But as of now, like, not really a lot going on in Nintendo world.
They seem fine.
Yeah, like Mario versus Donkey Kong, that's gonna come out like now. I'll stoked to play it. That sounds fun. Yeah. The Princess Peach Showtime game, that looks like a good time.
Still
They're showing
good.
More of that. Yep. Still have no idea who's making it. Don't even really know the format of the game, but I'm on board.
Have we asked? Have we just tried asking?
We'll try asking. The response has been, look at the credits when the game comes out.
That's not helpful, and it's weirdly sassy, Nintendo.
Yes. I know that was the company line for Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
It's an annoying thing that, like, I wish they would stop doing, because it's not... It
doesn't need to be a secret.
There's nothing nefarious about it. I just want to know, like, who is making this game.
Like, honestly, most of it is just for our database purposes. We have to assign the game profile to a company.
Or like Super Mario RPG, it's like art, or even another code. I forget, Arc System Works, I think, did a lot of work on that port. And the cool thing of that is that it's a lot of people who worked on another code, because the company Sing that initially made another code doesn't exist anymore. They closed down. So it's cool that people who worked on that game originally were working on the game. Same with Super Mario RPG. When that got announced, you could have easily said, like, yeah, some dudes that worked on this game are working on it. Worked on the original game are here. Taro Kudo is working on the game. Like,
you could have actually built hype with it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's, I don't get it. And like Princess Peach Showtime, if it is Goodfeel, which I don't think it is, because Goodfeel's doing their Goemon game and don't seem to be working with Nintendo anymore after Crafted World, because I think Nintendo is just deprioritizing some of their relationships with smaller developers. But whoever it is would be curious to know.
It's all NST. This is Retro's lost game. What was Retro working on all that time?
Princess Peach Showtime. It was a passion project.
Yep.
But
that's they canceled Star Fox Armada, the game they were definitely making. And that Sheikah game.
According to Xbox's data, I got Game Pass back because of their podcast today.
Nice.
Not that my son just really wanted to play Minecraft and I could get him 14 days for a dollar and go from there.
Somewhere Phil Spencer just did a little fist pump.
Yeah.
Like we got maybe. Though technically, so your Game Pass never actually expired, right? Like, it sounds like you picked it right up as it was expiring, or was it actually dead?
I might have had like 12 hours expired. Because when I did boot it up after I like just literally resubbed, like in the top of the screen, it was like, oh, your Game Pass just expired. And then like I like entered the store and it was like, all right, here's all your stuff you can download.
Well, all right. Yeah, so I suppose some context. If we didn't have an episode last week, but we did, if you're a subscriber to NWR on YouTube, me and Neil did something that was very much like a connectivity episode and just sat down and talked about Xbox's business strategy and how we thought it worked. That video is perhaps the thing that Neil and I have done that has aged the best of anything we've ever made, because I think we were like 100% on it. I think Phil Spencer quoted us in this business update. Like, we get Xbox. Xbox, hire us. We're available for employment. I don't know what we would do, but we know the business strategy. Maybe we can try to explain it to Twitter.
Yeah, that's what Tim Dog. Let's just speak with us.
It's gonna be
they're
okay,
not
Tim
doing
Dog.
Anything tricky? They're just. This is part of the plan. I know it's hard to believe.
And like, if you were an actual fan who was paying attention, they've literally been doing this for 10 years. Holy crap. Everybody calm down. So Xbox had their prophesied, what was it? Business update? What do they call it? Updates on the Xbox Business official Xbox podcast. I want it more is... podcasts like this, by the way.
So... one thing about this is that they did say said that this was planned to do this week back in December. Who the hell approved this as their way to deliver interesting news? Because like it's
I
kind of enjoy it because it is like fun to see like, oh, this is how like they decided to present this with a bunch of suits on stage talking about it. But it just seems like a really bad way to present all of this information. It's also the same people who did a, like an indie event that was like 15 hours long.
At least this was 20 minutes. I was trying to think about this like what would this have been like had all of the both the real and fake leaks not happened. And it sounds like from a comment that Phil makes at the beginning of this that this was probably going to be more focused on like the Activision Blizzard stuff and then also have had these comments about some of their older games going to other platforms.
So conspiracy theory, slightly informed conspiracy theory. I think that in a world where these leaks don't happen, some of these games that weren't that were deliberately not mentioned that are coming to other platforms might have been announced otherwise earlier in the week. And this event might have been slightly shadow dropped right after that event to be like, oh, hey, like, you're wondering why Sea of Thieves is coming to Switch, like Nintendo said earlier today.
Yep.
We're going to explain that and more, because it does seem like there's like a way that I can look at them structuring this where you do kind of have that shock of like, what the hell, man? Like, this exclusive Xbox game is coming to Nintendo and PlayStation. And then you're like, oh, yeah, like, no, we're doing this plan. We're still committed to first party games, first on Game Pass, blah, 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 blah. And then also then have like the thing of like, guess what? Diablo 4 Game Pass in March.
Yeah, like, essentially beat out, like, you get there before Tim Dog has time to sell us Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
If you just have that immediately after. And I do think, once again, totally just theory crafting, but there was a suspicious Nintendo Direct shaped hole on, I would say, Wednesday. There were some people saying Thursday, but we were talking about this beforehand, and the reviews for Mario versus Donkey Kong came out an hour earlier than reviews normally come out for Nintendo embargoes.
Typically it's 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, or your local time, wherever you are. The Mario vs. Donkey Kong reviews came out at 8 a.m. Eastern, an hour earlier. At 9 a.m., there was a Princess Peach Showtime trailer.
So there was.
That did seem like it was just like, let's just drop that then.
Well, and the thing I actually think is more telling from that day is, so let's assume that the intended direct that may happen was going to be a partner direct, which would make sense with Xbox. The other thing we had on Wednesday was a weird drop of a release quarter for Ys 10, which came out in Japan. Yeah. It came out in Japan last year. This was also announced on PlayStation's socials. I would imagine that that may have been something where if they decided, hey, we're going to wait until after Xbox cleans up their mess to do this direct, they may have had to go to those guys and be like, hey, do you want to hold your announcement or do you want us to just put out the trailer?
Because remember when we had, I think there, what we've had two. Well, no, it was there was the Queen. The Queen's Death Direct was just like it didn't air in England or something. But there was the Tornado.
I do like calling it the Queen's Death Direct.
Yeah, the Queen's Death Direct. Tears of the Kingdom. It would have been too tragic to reveal that subtitle. There was, I feel bad that I cannot remember the natural disaster that hit Japan in September in like 2019.
Was it a tsunami or was it an earthquake?
I think it was a tsunami.
I think so, too.
But that delayed a direct by a week, and you had a lot of weird, like, I think it was like Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition just like showed up one day.
Yeah,
because it was a lot of things that were like, oh, these wheels are kind of in motion already. We'll delay it, but stuff's going to get spoiled.
And that's exactly what I think the Ease thing probably was that because it's also being announced for PS5, like it kind of had to get announced that day, regardless of whether the direct was happening or not.
Yeah.
And then 14th, I just like because of my math of they usually do the second Wednesday of February. So that was purely no actual inside data, just that's usually when it happens.
And also a big part of this Xbox podcast was the four games are going multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did they specifically say Switch and PlayStation 5 or did they just say Nintendo and Sony platforms?
Well, they said, I believe the exact quote is the other consoles.
Okay.
By which I assume they mean the Ouya and Google Stadia.
And the Quest.
Yes.
The Oculus Quest, not the Meta Quest.
Yeah.
But they said four games, two community focused, two, what was it? Like two smaller
games. Smaller games. Yeah.
And it was comically like the minute this dropped, multiple reporters were like, the four games are probably Sea of Thieves, Grounded, Pentiment, and Hi-Fi Rush. Which three of those games were heavily rumored over the past couple weeks and months. Grounded was the one that I hadn't really heard about, but like heard that was like, oh, that makes sense.
Grounded feels like a guess, but if I try to come up with a better guess at the thing, so I could come up with other guesses, but the thing that throws me is there's a comment from Phil when he's talking about these games that these are like new IPs in their respective series. They're not sequels, so like, you know, probably not Halo Infinite, even though technically you can consider that a community driven game, but who knows. I will say I think Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves are, I think, are pretty much 100% that's what those are. Pentiment and Grounded, like Pentiment we did hear some rumors of early on, but that also felt kind of like a guess. I think it might be right, but it feels like kind of a shot in the dark lucky guess. Holding out for ReCore. I think that also fits the smaller games category, and it would probably run great on Switch.
I would love ReCore. I feel like Xbox forgot about ReCore.
Yes, I think so too.
That'd be cool.
I think they forgot about it slightly before they finished it. So they also made the comment that they couldn't, during this, they confirmed that none of the games are Starfield or Indiana Jones. Which, good thing to just go ahead and outright clarify. I have already seen people panic because there was a Verge interview with Phil Spencer that came out right after this, where they were like, so you're not doing Starfield or Indiana Jones? And he's like, well, you know, you should never rule anything out, but that's not our plan. And everyone's like, oh, he's going back on it already. And it's like, that's not what he said.
No, he just, that's what he said. It's very like it's so frustrating because like they're pretty clear in what they're saying in that, like, the four games that are coming out, like this is, they're going to see how it does and go from there. Like that is pretty clear that it's, everything is on the table for the future. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen. But like if this works and everything performs well, then you're going to start assessing games. But it seems like there is going to be that timed window where things aren't, what is it, like a year is generally what they said.
Well, and these, I mean, Hi-Fi Rush is the newest of these, assuming that's one of them. And that just hit a year last month.
Yeah.
Everything other than Hi-Fi Rush is significantly older.
Yeah, Pentiment is year and a half. Yeah. Sea of Thieves is...
Sea of Thieves has been... That was an Xbox One game. That's like been a while. Ago. Yeah.
And then Grounded, I think, was like 2018, 2019. It was pretty early after those they bought both, Obsidian.
Yeah, those are both fairly old games. And I do think, they highlighted this, there is a... Like, I don't think that Starfield, assuming they stick to their logic for which games to port, I don't think a game like Starfield fits that logic, because their whole comment is like, yeah, games that aren't necessarily big system sellers is how they kind of talked about the smaller games, like games that don't really make sense to be your big AAA exclusives. And then those community driven games are where they say, yeah, it's, you know, you kind of hit a point where you have as much of the community for those games as you can where you have them. And if you want to continue to have it be good business to support those games, you have to expand that community. So it makes sense to bring a game like that to more platforms to give, you know, a shot in the arm to your player base.
Like, honestly, yo, let's play some Sea of Thieves on Switch.
I will play. I love Sea of Thieves.
Let's review the crap out of that game. Yeah. I had a good... It's a rare game, so there's things where you're like, oh, there's googly eyes and they're making racist jokes. But, like, that game's very fun.
Were I to rank Rare's most racist games, Sea of Thieves would be pretty low on the list. Like, yeah, it's a pretty they do a pretty good job.
I think it helps with the subject matter of like, well, pirates are kind of got to be assholes. Like,
they do talk a little bit later about crossplay stuff. I really hope that Sea of Thieves has crossplay on everything. Because that would be a very fun way to test some of the technical stuff of that, is doing crossplay between Xbox and Switch.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, I think Sony would be the hiccup with that, because I don't think Nintendo has really been that averse to.
Sony's gotten better.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
because like last gen, like there were a couple games that I remember. I can't think of them off the top of my head that Sony was like, no, I mean, walled garden.
I want to say Rocket League and Fortnite held out forever. Not being able to play with like everything else had crossplay. I think Minecraft might have been the same way, where everything else could play together except for PlayStation for a long time.
Yeah. And I think maybe when Minecraft hit Wii U, but that's, I think, more of a technical limitation in the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm sure the Wii U just couldn't. Yeah.
But it is, there's a quote, and you helpfully pointed it out, that Matt Booty, said, one thing I would add, you were talking about growth, is just what we've seen this inversion over the last 5 years, where it used to be that the platform was the biggest thing and the games would tuck in within the platform. Today, big games like a Roblox or Fortnite could actually be bigger than any one platform. I think that is something that is probably getting undercovered to a degree, because I think that's also where some of their logic comes into this. As someone who has fallen incredibly deep down the Fortnite rabbit hole in the past month or so.
I did play some Fortnite with you like two nights ago. It was a good time.
We got some dubs.
Yeah, like, we did weirdly well.
Yeah. But there's something kind of magical about like Fortnite. Just like, yo, you have a potato? We can play it online. Let's go. Like that barrier for entry is so low that it really does open up both the player base and like your ability to engage with that game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play Fortnite on my phone, but I could.
You could. And like, it probably is better than the Switch version. Though I will say, Switch version, not too bad. I got scared of it because I know it was real bad for a little bit before they moved it over to the new engine, but it was running just fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. I do think there's, so the second half of that same quote from Matt Booty, he just sort of emphasizes some focuses. And he says, so in the midst of all that, I think we at First Party can come back to some core principles. First, that all of our games will be on the Xbox platform. Second, all of our games will go into Game Pass on day one. And third, we know that Game Pass will only be available on Xbox. The first two of those were definitely to specifically combat some of the rumors and concerns of saying like, these are all going to be on our platform. We're not going to go make a game for PlayStation. They're committed to their first party stuff still being on Game Pass. I did think, and I assume what he meant by, we know that Game Pass will only be available on Xbox, is that Xbox runs Game Pass, because objectively Game Pass is available not on just Xbox.
Yeah.
Like Game Pass is on my phone.
Yeah.
It's also on my computer.
That is a very silly.
I assume he just didn't quite word that the way he wanted to, but I just, it stood out to me as a somewhat strange comment.
Yeah.
Let's see. We also heard that first Activision game will hit Game Pass in March. That'll be Diablo 4. And that they have 10 apparently large first party games coming out in 2024. Neil, you highlighted the ones we know as being Indiana Jones, Hellblade 2, Avowed, Ara, Towerborn, and Flight Simulator 2024.
Yeah, and I just want to call out Towerborn is by the people who made the Banner Saga. The Banner Saga rips. Yeah. Towerborn should be pretty cool.
Yeah, and then they essentially confirmed what we would have guessed, but it's always nice to get confirmation that they'll have a June event like they did last year, where apparently they will be announcing 4 more games for this year. X to doubt that's that all it. That stuff actually hits this year, but if Xbox has 10 first party games this year, like, holy crap, that's,
yeah,
that's some Xbox 360 numbers. That's a stupid amount of games.
Well, actually, let's think about it. They own Activision now.
Oh, true. One of those could be Call of Duty.
I think one of those is Call of Duty,
which, like, fair,
but it, did Activision, like, have Activision Blizzard have any games announced? I mean, other than Call of Duty.
I mean, like, that I care about? I can't think of any. I mean, they could finish Overwatch 2. That would be neat, given that that game was initially teased as having a single-player campaign. And then it released as a patch for Overwatch.
Activision got depressing. I mean, like,
it really did. I mean, I think some of that was like, you know, packing, like they weren't going to do a bunch of stuff knowing they were.
Yeah,
I think the extended purchasing acquisition time probably hurt some production of stuff during that period.
Yeah. But it's like it is. I mean, even before they got bought by Microsoft, or Microsoft entered the agreement to buy them, which was the beginning of 2023. Like it's basically for like 5 years. It's just like Call of Duty every year, like a Crash Bandicoot game every other year, and mm-hmm. then like that one cool year where we got Tony Hawk. Like that's,
yeah,
since 2020, like there's been like 15 releases, 10 of them are Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a sad company. I mean, like the sexual harassment and death and like all that is horrific and terrible. But even from a game output perspective, it's just a bummer.
Yeah. I do think there were some interesting comments from Phil kind of in that area. I don't have this one. I don't have all of this one written down. But he made the comment about how last year was just this incredible year for games, but that like the games were great, but they didn't see growth. And I initially heard that and kind of was like, well, I'm pretty sure like weren't profits up for most companies. For Xbox, it probably is the case that there wasn't a whole lot of growth. But then I did kind of look at it in the context of like looking over at, like we had the PlayStation financial briefing, whatever that was. And I could kind of see what he meant where like PS5, which has been very successful, is, if I'm not mistaken, still trailing behind what the PS4 had sold at this point. Like
it's, so this ties into just some of the overarching like problems with the video game industry.
Yeah.
Where you look at like let's go back in time, pre-COVID, if you will. Like it's start of Switch generation, and you know we're in Xbox One, PS4. PS4 is doing really well. Xbox One exists, mm-hmm. But Microsoft is also like kicking off Game Pass around this time, like just nebulous 2017, 2018, around that era. A lot of prognostication and projections was like, okay, video games are popping off. We expect this growth to continue. Mm-hmm. And 2020, huge outlier year where growth skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of that, like, I forget the exact numbers. There's a, I will try to find a link, or if anybody listens to this and is like, Neil, where did you read that? Like, bug me on Twitter or somewhere. and I'll send you the link, because I'm probably going to forget to dig it up. But like, yeah, like 2020 was a huge outlier. And it was like, you know, like 20%, you know, increase in gaming play mm-hmm. and revenue and everything, or whatever it was. It was something ridiculous. And that's also where you saw a lot of overinvestment and stuff. Why you saw, you know, Epic wind up, you know, Fortnite is very successful and they laid off a bunch of people. And that's because they saw 2020 and were like, we're going to keep this gravy train rolling. And they did not.
Yep.
And there's been a crashing back down to earth since 2020, which was an yep. outlier year. And where we're at in 2023 and 2024 is lower than like people were projecting we'd be at as far as like players and spending back in 2017, 2018. So yeah. that is the major problem why we're seeing all these layoffs, why Xbox and PlayStation are doing what they're doing, saying what they're saying, is because there were expectations that they were going to be making X amount of money in 2024, and they are not hitting those expectations. And that, yes, like you could argue like, oh, why does everything need to constantly be growing? Why can't it just maintain? That's just not the way capitalism business works.
Right. Right. And he had a quote following up on that and said, there's really two choices on how to grow the industry. Do you say I have a fixed number of players, the players that we have today, and do I find new ways to monetize those players to get more money from the players that I have? Or do you think about how do I expand the business I have, finding new players and adding those to the base of players that already play? Our focus on Xbox for the last decade has really been on that latter point of how do I make sure Xbox is growing for our players, growing for our creators. And so those people are finding success on our platform, which will grow the Xbox business and put Xbox in a position to be very strong for years and decades to come. I do want to, that my favorite part of this quote is where he talks about how that's been their strategy for the last decade, which I believe is a direct quote from NWR's video on Xbox's game strategy.
They got their teeth kicked in after Xbox One. Phil Spencer came in and took this over from Don Matrick, and it was
horrible.
the dog in the fire meme of just like, this is fine, as everything is flaming around him. And like, he pivoted. He realized that, you know, I mean, the company realized that they weren't going to be able to compete with Sony in a traditional manner.
Yep.
And they swerved. And, you know, I think you look at the outcomes over the past couple of years, and I do think Xbox got royally screwed by the timing of the pandemic, because that's mm-hmm. when all these companies that they bought were going to start making all these cool games, and instead everything got slowed down and delayed. But Xbox zigged when other people were zagging, and it might not be the right decision, but it's a different decision.
Yep.
And we'll see where it goes. Seems like we're not done yet. They aren't cashing out yet.
Right. I do think it's sort of their only, they weren't going to catch up by doing what everybody else was doing.
No, it's like they had to do something.
Yeah.
Game Pass is their equivalent of the Wii. It just didn't succeed at that level.
Yeah, I do. We did get some. I missed this, but we did get some updated numbers on Game Pass subscribers, which are up like 20-something% from the last time we had numbers, which was in like 2022, which is still not where they want them to be. But it does put to bed the claims that Xbox or that Game Pass just hasn't moved.
It's more that Game Pass has not moved at the level of success that they want it to.
Right. Like, yeah, it is still growing. Yeah. Just not. Yeah. That's actually another 2020. So a lot of those projections came, guess when? In 2020.
Yay.
So that's another instance of that where they saw a ton of growth in Game Pass in 2020 and were like, holy crap, we can do this indefinitely. It's still very successful, but it's not like they had like insane, like, you know, 200% growth this year in 2020. Turns out they couldn't maintain that long term.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the chat. I mean, I can speak to it, you know, briefly in the old day job, is that like, you compare anything to 2020, like there was a lot of things that were I have gotten to calling those years unicorn years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's neat to be like, look at how things were wacky. That is not an actual comparison that we can make in the future, but it's cool to point it out.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you can't base any, it's not really useful data. Like,
no,
it's,
no,
it's when, if you're drawing a graph and you have one dot that's way off to the side, you kind of just don't factor that one into the graph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do have one other fun quote from Phil. They were talking about, this was in the context of saying, like, so the strategy for Xbox actually hasn't, like, this isn't a new strategy. This is what they've been doing for a decade. And Phil made the comment, said, we have shipped games on other platforms. In fact, realistically, if you look, with the addition of Activision, Blizzard, and ZeniMax, we're one of the largest publishers on PlayStation. We're one of the largest publishers on the Nintendo Switch, especially when you put Minecraft into the equation as well. And now we're one of the largest publishers on mobile platforms as well.
Because they did buy King. I guess Minecraft is fair, but like, what did Activision publish on Switch?
That's true. I think, yeah, on the in the context of
even Bethesda, of what, Bethesda had those two Doom games, Wolfenstein, like
two Wolfensteins, a Skyrim. Yeah, technically Outer Worlds.
Oh yeah, I forgot that happened.
No, there was, Bethesda had some initial pretty good Switch support.
Oh wait, wasn't Outer Worlds, was that 2K or was that Bethesda?
It's Obsidian. Which is owned by Bethesda.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was context of, they were talking about having previously ported Ori, which I didn't realize until watching this. Ori is still not out on PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
So those two older small games could just be ports of Ori to PlayStation.
The Outer Worlds one was published by Private Division. So 2K games. So technically it wasn't a Microsoft game.
It was,
but I think
so that
Obsidian
was,
owns the license.
So Outer Worlds, I had to double check. Outer Worlds was a, like, that version of it was essentially already coming out right when they acquired them.
Yes.
Like that slightly, it doesn't technically predate it, but like those copies were like being printed.
Yeah.
So I think that was the deal there.
Yeah, and it was, they had already, you know, signed the deal with Private Division to publish the game. But Obsidian does own the rights to that. I mean, that's why they're making Outer Worlds 2.
Yep. Overall, I mean, I do think that quote is, it's a little hyperbolistic, but I get what he means. Like,
yeah,
this isn't some new weird thing. Like, He talks a lot about how they're going to, you know, try this and see how it goes, but it isn't totally a, they have done this before, maybe not at this level with the level of games they're doing now. Like Ori is a very small game. Minecraft is not a very small game, but it's sort of, we don't think of Minecraft the same way because it's just always been on everything. So it is a bit different to come in with, you know, Sea of Thieves or Hi-Fi Rush or something. God, Grounded is not going to run well on Switch. Sea of Thieves, if you've ever played it on a crappy computer, is insanely scalable. So I do think Sea of Thieves will run great.
I played that on an original Xbox One and then got a Series X and played it on that. I was like, wow.
Yeah. But even on the Xbox One, ran fine. Yeah. So it'll be Penniman. Yeah, if that's one of the games.
Hi-Fi Rush is a rhythm game. Gives me pause.
Hi-Fi Rush, they have to get running very well. Yeah, that's the, you can't, 30 FPS Hi-Fi Rush, I don't think works. But we'll see. There's potentially room for Hi-Fi Rush. We'll see what, it's got that t-shirt, you know, so it must be confirmed happening, right?
Yeah. You know what game I'm pretty excited for? I wound up on Obsidian's Wikipedia page, Avowed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm super hyped for Avowed. Well, did you play Pillars of Eternity? Those games?
I don't think so.
They were like old school.
It's the same universe.
Yeah, they're just.
I think I thought about it and then I wound up playing
Baldur's Gate license.
Yeah, I played Divinity instead of that.
Yeah.
I basically was looking at both of them and was like, well, this one's more heralded, and I don't regret that decision.
Yeah, Pillars of Eternity is very good. It is a much more, like, it is a old school, like, when I say Baldur's Gate, I do not mean Baldur's Gate
3. Yeah.
I mean, 1 and 2. But it's yep. very good. So yeah, I'm excited for Avowed, especially since, and we talked about this a little bit during our video the other week, but when they started making that game, they were making it multiplayer because that's what they had to do to sell it to a publisher, and then Microsoft bought them, and Microsoft was like, if you don't want to make it multiplayer, just don't. And they were like, oh, okay. I'm not sure where that conversation was when it came to Redfall, but that would have been a good conversation for that too, because for some reason we had a prolific single player developer making a multiplayer game, and that
yeah, can you just like work. Make a game that people would like?
Yeah, what if
so not made, Redfall?
I mean, it does, you know, it's amazing what you can get, and I hope Microsoft real. Well, I'm sure like some of the people at Microsoft realize this. I hope that the you know all of the higher ups at Microsoft realize this, that we're seeing some really cool things from them when they allow their developers to make the games they want to make.
Yeah,
that's. I really hope. I think both Hi-Fi Rush and Peniment are results of that. Because Peniment was 100% just a weird passion project for Obsidian. That is not a game. Neither of those games are games that would probably get greenlit by most companies. But it's cool that they exist.
Yeah.
Okay. And I suppose the side story is that PlayStation is doomed. I think that was what came out of their I don't have notes for their thing. They had some weird that presentation incredible. Given in Japanese and we're just hearing bad English translations yeah. or
so I forget the name of the person that has succeeded Jim Ryan as kind yeah. of the head of Sony Interactive Entertainment, but like there were some comments made about like we need to figure out how to increase the business ROI, and it's like oh no
well it sounds like somebody walked in and went, wait, has Spider-Man not turned a profit?
Yeah.
How much money are we spending on these games?
Yeah.
This isn't sustainable.
So there was a comment that like has been misreported about how they basically it's saying they will not have a game at the scale of Spider-Man 2 or God of War Ragnarok out this fiscal year, which mm-hmm. would be, you know, April 1st, 2024 to March
31st,
2025.
Yeah.
And like that's probably true. That doesn't mean they're not going to have any games. It's just they're going to have less prolific games. And I did see people being like, "Rise of the Rodents coming out in March." It's like, well, that's not next fiscal year. that's coming out in March. But like they will.
And I don't know that Rise of the Ronin is on the scale of Spider-Man. Like not to besmirch the good name of Rise of the Ronin, but that. Looks
it,
like a
game
budget.
Was solid. Game was
looks,
real fun.
It looks great. It also looks like a budget title. I'm sure it'll be fine, but like it ain't Spider-Man 2.
This is the equivalent of whoever at Nintendo like snickered and told some rumor people that there weren't any heavy hitters after Tears of the Kingdom.
Right.
Except for this is just coming directly from the fire hose.
It is kind of nice to see a different fan base have to go through the no heavy hitters thing. I do think it would be reported way more if it were Nintendo.
Yes.
But it's kind of fun to watch it happen. But luckily for PlayStation, they're being saved by Xbox, and Xbox is bringing all their games instead.
You're going to get Pentiment. You're going to get Sea of Thieves to play. And Helldivers 2 apparently rocks. We should play that after we play Halo.
That is on. That's one of the few day and date on PC. PlayStation games.
It seems like the they also clarified that. I should look at this dude's name. I don't know if I care that much.
Well, it's interesting
about how Helldivers 2 and live service games will be day and date PlayStation and PC. All single player games like a Spider-Man, like a God of War Ragnarok will still have like a year plus delay.
It really echoes what Xbox was talking about as far as like we're not seeing growth. We have to find a way to expand this audience. Yep. And I obviously I don't think PlayStation is quite as, you know, desperate as Xbox. Maybe that's not the right word. But I do see a world where we may start to see some of the smaller PlayStation games coming to Xbox, just like we're seeing the Xbox games coming to PlayStation. Like, I think that unless you're going to start making your games cheaper, you have to sell more of them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it has to happen. I think the only reason Nintendo's got away with it so far is that compared to PlayStation, Nintendo's games are budget games. You know, now and then you have a Tears of the Kingdom, but I would imagine that Tears of the Kingdom does not have the same. I would imagine Spider-Man 2 had a higher budget than Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom definitely was a lot of money, and also I think Tears of the Kingdom sold a lot more than Spider-Man 2.
Oh, it did. It had like 20 million of its first month. So yeah, no, yeah. It wipes the actually, floor with it, but
yeah. It's 5 million in 11 days, 10 million after like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Tears of the Kingdom hit 20 million like almost instantly and then has like sold jack shit for the rest of the time, which that's another fascinating thing. I don't know. I guess just became like the business update episode.
Yeah,
it is wild to me. Like you look at, you know, because Nintendo had their financials a couple weeks back and. Yeah, I think like Tears of the Kingdom was like 19 million in May and then Q3 and Q4. So like, you know, July to December, it's like barely a million copies were sold.
I do think that's a problem of like that lightning can't really strike. I mean, let's be clear. 20 million, still pretty good.
I don't think Nintendo's like we failed. But
right.
I do think they're looking at that being like, oh, the tail for this is garbage.
Yeah,
I mean, Breath of the Wild like definitely did very well out of the gate, but that true success is the sustainability of that game.
Yeah, and I think that like Breath of the Wild had a great people picked it up, and then their friends saw the game and were like, "I have never seen a game like this before in my life." Like it has that just water cooler effect of spreading through word of mouth. And Tears of the Kingdom kind of just tried to be the same game again. I don't think you can do it twice. Still
you
a great
what,
game.
You know what Nintendo has to do?
Make a new map?
Tears of the King. No, they have to bring Tears of the Kingdom to PC.
True. True.
I mean, that is the one that, like, Nintendo would have to fundamentally change their entire business strategy if they're ever going to start releasing their games on other platforms.
Well,
it'd be very funny.
Like, they also don't know how to port to PC.
No.
So, like, it would be... Like PlayStation has had to form a studio.
Yeah, they bought Nixies or whatever, yep. NIXSES.
Yep.
And then Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft. It's. I feel like there was a quote from Phil Spencer or something that was talking about like, you know, like the cost to port these games to other platforms is not nothing.
Yeah.
And even cited their experience, you know, bringing games to Steam and Xbox. But mm-hmm. It is not the same as then bringing games to PlayStation and Nintendo.
Well, and once, I mean, we talked about it the other week where when you're the first party, you're not paying licensing fees. Like, yep. It's just more expensive to release games on other platforms. But yep. I do think it'll be worth it. I saw some great tweets today of why would Xbox port these games to PlayStation when they get nothing out of it? And then the
they
reply of
money.
Being like, they get money, you dumb. Like, what you think they're just like, oh, we didn't sell enough Hi-Fi Rush, I guess we have to give it away to place like no, they're selling it to people. Like every PlayStation owner that buys a copy of Hi-Fi Rush, that money goes to Xbox and then they make more games. Like do you but it does
capitalism.
It reminds me of like the people of just, you know, like Game Pass hurts devs because they don't make any money, and it's like you realize that Game Pass pays for those games, right? Like Game Pass doesn't just like come in, like kick in your door in the middle of the night and steal your game. Like there's like a deal that's signed where like money is exchanged.
I have heard some things when it comes to Game Pass that like it is not the no-brainer it once was.
Oh,
to
sure.
Take the Game Pass money. Because now it is like, oh, you might get that upfront money, but then the tail for your game is basically chopped off.
Right.
There's a balance to it. Not every game is going to succeed doing that, just like not every game is going to succeed launching into the world.
Right.
You're probably better off taking the lump sum up front and try to budget so that way, like, that basically covers your budget.
Well, I think that what we've seen a lot is, you know, you go on Game Pass day one, get your upfront money, and then a few months later, then you go release on PlayStation and Switch, like, get your sales money.
You know
money.
Who made bank? I'm pretty sure. Tunic. I think Tunic made bank.
Yeah.
Although, no, Tunic wasn't Game Pass, was it?
Tunic was Game Pass.
Okay, it was.
Yep, day one. That's the only way I ever played it. So.
Yeah, no, but like you look at Tunic where it's like, yeah, it came out on Game Pass. And then I believe there was, did the Switch and the PlayStation version come out at the same time? But I think they had different announcements.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like the PlayStation version was announced and like a month later there was a direct where it was like, and it's coming to Switch too.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, you get the random one-offs like Pow World, which did get name dropped at this thing where it's on Game Pass and it still sells a metric buttload on PC.
But that Pow World is the 2020 of video games.
Yes. No, and that's, the horrible thing about Pow. I was listening to the Digital Foundry podcast and one of the guys highlighted that the worst thing about Pow World is that, you know, a bunch of execs are going to look at the success of Pow World and totally misinterpret what led to it. And we're going to get a million crappy Ark clones just like Pow World.
Yep.
And like in 5 years, like way too late to even like, it'll be horrible. But yeah. Okay. I suppose that's probably about it for this thing.
Yeah.
Next week, maybe there will be a Nintendo Direct. Our schedule for releasing these might get funky if we're trying to, we may occasionally try to like hold recording to try and, you know, react rather than just predict poorly. So no guarantees on exactly when episodes come out as we wait for a Direct, but, you know, hopefully we'll have one of those to talk about soon.
Yeah. And I feel like we might be still on a weird schedule until, I don't know, new system will probably start putting us back on a strictly weekly schedule.
True.
Also, I guess for anybody that's been waiting for us to do the Paper Mario Game Club, I don't think it's happening. Sorry to the three of you that were very excited.
I think what we've decided. So our idea for the Paper Mario Game Club, when we thought we weren't going to have enough games to cover the time between starting that game club and when Thousand Year Door came out, was that we were going to have like extra games where it was just random games that we picked to fill out in the meantime. We are thinking about still doing those games. So you might get a weird selection of just games that one of us likes and we want to make the rest of the people play. And I'm actually very excited for that because I've seen the potential list of games and it's going to be weird and interesting.
I still need to settle on mine, but
you do. You've made some suggestions and I like your suggestions.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But it depends on, are we going to go for like how easy is it to get versus is it the Tingle game?
That's what waking dreams are for.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Write us at connectivity@nintendoreport.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.